You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, October 7th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, folks, it's Casual Friday, but it's a special Casual Friday. In studio, the great Cliff Schechter. Also, to provide us analysis on the future of this country and the future citizens and voters, Luke and Dougie will be here to give us their analysis of the presidential campaign. Also on the program, the Republican 2020 race begins. Tom Cotton in Iowa, Mike Pence shoving Donald Trump further under the bus. Matthew slams Florida, downgraded to a Category 3 hurricane, but still. And, of course, liberals pretend it's dangerous to push the hoax of climate change. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be very exciting. We have Cliff Schechter in studio, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to work this now with our theme song. I will say this. Should we just play the theme song now? Oh, no, we need a little time. That's fine. We will get to the theme song in just a moment. We've got a lot of, we are just, of course, 36 hours away from the debate, 48 hours, actually, no, 56. Wow, we've got, it seems like it's years off.
Only one that's eager for it.
And, no, I'm very excited about this debate. I should say, before we get there, it's Casual Friday. I am unshaven, but people know that I usually shave now. Cliff Schechter is here with us. He is also, I guess it's Casual Friday for you. You're not shaving as well, but you seem like you may be working on a goatee. This is not your official segment yet.
Do I get to talk now, or do I wait for the official segment? I just
want
to make sure.
When we get to the official segment, we got to have the theme song.
But right, now we got to play that first. Right. Yeah, I've got a little bit of, I got a little more around here than around there.
Right.
It's laziness,
I think. That's
mostly.
All right, because I've got the perfect fix for you for that. It's Harry's five-blade razors. Softer flex hinge now for a more comfortable glide. Trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places. A lubricating strip. Textured handle for more control when it's wet. Do you still get your razor? You don't go to like the Walgreens or whatever and get your razor behind that like that huge case, right?
Right, where you have to like break into the glass to
Fort
Knox. In case of emergency kind of thing.
It's insane. Harry's sends it directly to you, Cliff.
They'll send it to my home?
To your home.
And there'll be five blades in there.
There'll be five blade razors. They'll send you three blades. You can get as many as you want. But it's $2 a blade compared to the $4 you've been spending at the drugstore. And I know you like a deal, Cliff Schechter.
I do like a deal. I think I'm in.
Listen, Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they will send you, not just you, Cliff, but really anybody, but you in particular, a free trial set, which comes with a razor, the five-blade cartridge I spoke of before, and shaving gel.
Whoa.
It's free when you sign up for a shave plan. Just pay the shipping. Shave plan, they'll send it to you on a regular basis, so you never have to even think about it.
Do you think we could get another, like a free set for me, maybe a free set for Luke, too?
Well, the chest hair
is coming in really strong.
My son, Saul, loves my Harry razor. Now, I take the blade off before I let him play with it because that would be a problem. He's only 3.5. But there's also a special offer for fans of the show. Enter the code MAJORITYREPORT at checkout to get a post-shave balm added to your order for free. Yeah, I mean, it's always nice. When was the last time you used the post-shave balm?
As soon as I get, I want the balm is the best part.
Go to harrys.com right now. Enter code Majority Report at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code Majority Report. So, Cliff.
I may be causing you more trouble than you knew.
No, no. We have a live audience today. Cliff's entire family is here.
And, this literally is my entire family. Seriously.
This is, well, I mean, this is fantastic.
We're not Catholic.
No, I understand. Well, it's pretty good, though. I mean,
we've kept it to a minimum.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I mean, really keeping it to a minimum is as having no kids. I mean, that's the. But we're not gonna advocate.
Amazing how much more money that puts in the expense account.
Oh my God! Tell me about it.
You hear that?
Let me just add this, Cliff. I want you to picture a world. We're putting on your new pair of underwear. Isn't just fresh, but you're stepping into a better day. Now I know this is going to be a revelation for you, Cliff. All right. Underwire.
This whole experience is a revelation for me.
It's the first thing you put on the day, right? It's the last thing you take off. I mean, I'm not sure how else it will work, but
hope.
I don't even want to imagine.
Let's not explore this.
Why would you settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet?
I can't really think that I would.
Me Undies focuses solely on producing the most comfortable underwear you've ever experienced. It is made out of a fabric that apparently Matt has been on for years, right? What is it? Micromodal or what is it?
Yeah, modal or micromodal. I've been on it since 2011.
Oh my God. You've been on it?
Well, he's been on the case.
I've been having modal in my my underwear for
you've been
a long
having
time.
Modal in your underwear.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting phraseology there, buddy.
And that's that's working well for you?
It's a special fabric.
Go listen to a Nixon tape.
It's a special fabric. It's made with the best-in-class raw materials that are scientifically proven to be 3 times softer than cotton. And I speak from experience. I can tell you, it's bizarre how soft it feels. You put them on, you feel like you're wearing nothing, but then you also feel like you're still wearing something, if you know what I mean.
It's true.
I'm taking it to really Vegas, true. As far as I know. I'm going to go on a mass impulse buy of everything you're talking about tonight.
Here is the thing. You try them on. If they aren't the most comfortable, best-feeling undies that you've ever had, they'll refund you and let you keep the first pair for free, which it would be scary if they didn't let you keep it.
No. If they wanted the pair back, I might not be interested.
You start to worry about what you're getting back in the mail.
That's right.
But you get to keep it. I mean, this is a no-lose proposition. They're uber-cozy undies, and they're sold exclusively on the Me Undies website. You'll enjoy free shipping to the U.S. and to Canada.
Whoa. Do you personally endorse these products, as in, like,
I wear Modal. I use Harry's. Okay. That's basically the way I roll.
This is the part of the show
straight
I miss
to the
every day
cedar shut
before
stubble.
You guys call me. It's very disappointing. I miss all
the
this.
Service that we use also to recruit new. Well, I'm not going to get on my head right now. And for a limited time, everybody in my audience gets 20% off their first order. But you have to go to our special URL, MeUndies, MeUndies.com/majority. With the Me Undies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose, so don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/majority for 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/majority. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time that we play this famous theme song. We can be able to hear it in the room for these guys. These guys, I'll try and hook
Have they heard the song? Children heard this?
Have they heard it? They've heard it? Okay.
Has everyone else heard it?
Have you guys heard it? You guys heard your dad's theme song? Do you know any other dad who has a theme song?
Has mom heard it?
I don't think my mom's heard it either.
Okay. This is a big moment now.
I'm going to try and play it in the studio.
I don't just go around.
It really sort of captures the essence of Cliff.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Yeah, take my mic down.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Live in studio. This is really exciting and way overdue.
It is. I was in your older studio. Your previous studio, I believe I should call it.
Oh, did you go to that?
I did once, but I mean, you know, that was like when Binder was still around. I mean, that was a long...
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago, and that place was, a dump.
Sad.
It didn't... It's like we just got here to New York, and we went to the new Essebagel, right?
Right.
We didn't dislike the old one. It just was smaller, a bit dingier. You know, it wasn't quite as sort of spacious and sunny as the
new
one.
And alcoholic fashion people were roaming the hallways.
So I'm saying your old studio was just fine. This is just a bit more of a spacious and sort of inviting version.
Yeah, this is like a luxury. I mean, you wouldn't have been... Can you imagine if you brought your family into the old one? That would have been possible.
No.
We would have... everybody would just had to stand... Like right in front of us.
Try to like avoid mold.
Yeah.
It was nice how like if you come in, you had a jacket, the rats would come and take it away for you.
That's
you know,
right.
Hang it up in the closet.
We did have a full staff in there. We were fully staffed by
no, it wasn't that bad. It was, this is excellent.
Yeah. We've moved up in the world. All right. So Cliff, let's talk about, we have not touched base about the vice presidential debate, which feels like it was years ago.
Exactly.
Give me your, I mean, you know, it's interesting because there's really two ways to win a debate, particularly even more so, I think, in the context of the vice presidential debate, that is during the debate and then after the debate. Give me your sense.
I thought that Tim Kaine came off, obviously, as somebody who is quite knowledgeable. He certainly defended the presidential candidate, you know, who he is with, which is incredibly important. Because I think back to, and I'm thinking way back now, I think maybe in 92, when Al Gore went up against Dan Quayle. And Dan Quayle actually won the debate because he just kept ripping into Bill Clinton, and Al Gore wasn't really defending him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so during it, you know, I knew stylistically Tim Kaine was interrupting, and he should have probably interrupted less because he had a strong enough case. I don't see why he that was necessary. But, you know, maybe I have this sort of idealism. It maybe hasn't been completely run out of me that I still feel like I would hope that people in the media would look beyond substance to actual style and say to themselves, huh, Mike Pence is saying a lot of things tonight that don't appear to be true, and he's not really answering any of the questions. But In the atmosphere that we're in, I had a feeling. So I figured it would be close. And I think that's what it was in the end. The CNN poll had it 48-42. Although people who are watching, although that was in Richmond, Virginia, so maybe that biased it, people that were watching it said Tim Kaine, you know, like the focus group. So you had some mixed results, I guess Pence by a little bit, but it seems very clear that Kaine has won the after debate in a big way.
Right. I mean, that seems to be the point. I mean, on some level, I mean, I can understand why style resonates during the debate, because that's the way that most people watch these things. I mean, I don't think people, you know, the average person who tunes in, you know, is not, I think, sort of steeped in policy. I think after a while, people realize, like, wait a second. Now, Donald Trump did say that. I mean, he must have said some of those. I mean, we all imagine this?
And Mike Pence even got to the point where he was denying stuff that he'd said. He's like, no, I never said Putin was a strong leader. And then they just show Putin is a strong leader right after. I mean, it's...
And I did have the feeling, particularly I think when Tim Kaine said, I've said six things that you have not addressed or something like that. He said like six statements that you've denied. And that just, you know, at that point, it just seems to me like his instructions going in were like, say six things.
Right.
We have focus tested that six is the number. I mean, we could go to 15.
Right.
We could go to 15 things, or we could go to three.
That could have been a lot. So, look, I hate to paraphrase or quote Donald Rumsfeld, who my wife and I had a bad habit of running into in restaurants in Washington when we lived there.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like, never purposefully. We would be like, especially if each of us had a little bit too much to drink, I'd be like, we probably should really avoid going over there and talking to Donald Rumsfeld. I saw him at least three times in restaurants in D.C.
Oh, my God.
And
where were you eating?
I am not very wealthy.
Kind of food?
So I don't. Donald Rumsfeld clearly was slumming it. There's an Italian. No, actually, the Italian place we went, if I can look over and ask my wife. Do you remember the name of the place? It was in DuPont Circle. and he was in the corner with a lot of other huddled up
out there anymore.
Rich people, you know. And so the line, of course, being you go to war with the military you have, not the one you wish you had, which was ridiculous because they didn't plan and all that stuff. But in this case, I really do feel like it applies in a manner of speaking that I wish that we had a media that treated this stuff with the seriousness it deserves and not like a high school, you know, student council rights. But you go into the political war with the media you have. And so knowing that, you know that driving media cycles is the most important thing. And so you know that right after that debate, you want to be what the charges you make, you want the media to be talking about. And already just before that debate, the story came out in the New York Times that Saturday night about Donald Trump probably not having paid taxes since 1996 or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're talking like, everybody remember when the movie Titanic came out? Yeah, he hasn't paid taxes since back before then. You know, and so that was a huge story. So by going after him on those kinds of things, what Tim Kaine made sure of is even if they said, oh, he interrupted too much, and he's a mean guy, he's not the likable dad that we thought he was, but they were going to be saying, but here's what he said, and then those charges get repeated, and that also gets under Donald Trump's skin. Like, right. You can attack him on being a cheapskate to charities, which it seems I love, what was his name, Farthenhold, you know, has the list of never has given, you may see on Twitter, like, he's got a list written on notebook paper of all the charities that Trump's claimed to have given to, and he just keeps writing never, right. Never, never, because he yes. keeps calling them all and finding he's never actually given to them. I'm sure that gets under Trump's skin, but nothing gets under his skin more than saying he's a bad businessman. And so the fact that they can say you lost $916 million, do you know that was 2% of the money lost by all businesses that year? Donald Trump lost.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, I assume Hillary comes to the debate armed with this stuff, and he can be as prepared as he is and say, I'm not going to let her get under my skin, and I'm going to there's no way that will not drive him mad.
I want to play some sound, just staying on the VP thing, because I think you're right, and we got some sound from Trump's we have some sound from Trump's non-practice town hall. But before we get there, one thing about the Pence thing, I mean, I headlined today that the 2020 race had begun, and Tom Cotton apparently has showed up in Iowa, and, you know, like giving speeches that sound like not even talking about Donald Trump, right? He's just talking about himself. One of the things that was pretty clear and interesting about the VP debate was that, yes, I think Pence came off better in some ways than Tim Kaine. But in terms of, you know, a vice presidential debate, no one is really voting for a vice president. I mean, like Sarah Palin hurt John McCain uniquely because her pick so went to contrary to the narrative he was setting up. I'm a maverick. Right. I'm not one of these lunatics.
And I'm experienced with the military experience, whatever, and so I'm a guy that thinks hard about things and doesn't just do crazy stuff.
Right, and it was all controverted by picking Sarah Palin. But there's no way Mike Pence or Tim Kaine is going to make the difference in and of themselves.
Nope.
So the
idea or two in their home states is what everybody says, and I
and Indiana's already
Indiana would have gone red this time matter what, and Virginia has become such a blue state. I mean, maybe it helps.
Maybe it helps.
Maybe a little bit having Kaine there, yeah.
But in terms of the debate, it's not the same as a presidential debate where you want the viewer to be like, I like that person, I'm going to vote for them, or I feel comfortable with them, etc. The vice president doesn't have the same relationship, so acting as a hammer,
they're a little
more
like a pundit. I mean, yeah. It's a little more kind of like when you go on some shows on MSNBC or I go on some things, which is I want to make my points. I don't care. I'm not on there for people to like me. In the end, I'm on the, you know, and I think that's what you're doing. You're trying to drive those points.
Yes. And one thing that Mike Pence did is he simply protected himself. And here he is. This is Mike Pence. And this is part of the follow up. And this is sort of precious, right? Mike Pence has all but basically said, like, Donald who at this point. Here he is he with Chris Cuomo, I guess it is, on CNN. You can watch it right there, Cliff. Put your headphones on and you'll be able to hear it. And here he is just sort of like following up on this week's debate. And just listen. You don't have to listen too carefully to see where Mike Pence is trying to put himself at arm's length. Here it is.
Talked about putting the security of the American people first.
Right, but he has also said, Governor,
our position
is
we're going to suspend immigration from countries compromised by terrorism.
But, Governor, that is a finessed position. We both know that where he started was saying there is a problem with Islam, that Muslims should be kept out of the country. You condemned those comments, and you did so strongly as the governor of Indiana when you were backing Ted Cruz. You said, we can't say that. When he said what he said about Judge Curiel, not making it about the case, but about his ethnicity, you condemned those comments. Why do you not condemn them now?
Well, because it's not Donald Trump's position now. He's, I mean, look, you've known him for a long time, Chris. I haven't known him that long at all. But but what you see in Donald Trump is a man who has built an extraordinary business.
I haven't known him that long at all. I just
passed him in a hallway once.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of this stuff is surprising me, and I can't wait until November 9th when I can say, like, I found about a lot of stuff recently in the past 24 hours that really upset me.
That was a great interview, Mike.
I was wrong. It was terrible. So the thing is, over the over that 48 hours, I would say the person who had the worst day and night was Ted Cruz. Because he's the guy with all the right-wing positions courting the evangelicals that everybody just doesn't like. Right, I mean, he just is an unlikable guy. Mike Pence, as much as I don't like him because I know what he's really about, if you're someone who doesn't follow this stuff closely, he's the friendly face of crazy right-wing policies, as is Paul Ryan. As to a certain degree, he doesn't smile as much. He certainly frowns too much. But Tom Cotton at least doesn't come off as nasty. So I'm not surprised. Those are the guys. Yep. I think Cruz is in a lot of trouble in staying. And then, of course, that video comes out of Cruz making phone calls for Donald Trump like, yeah, I know he insulted my dad and said he assassinated JFK and thinks my wife ain't so hot and called me Lion Ted. But, yeah, vote for him. You know,
I actually think that was not a coincidence that we saw that video this week.
Trump dominance.
I don't think it's just about Trump dominance. I think it's about what you're talking about. I mean, I think that Mike Pence basically moved into pole position, was like, we're going to show. I mean, you know, they have redone that picture many times, and right behind Ted Cruz, it says, you know, like conservative.
I know
there's a sign there, and I think honestly, because you know,
seeing Ted Cruz that sad. I mean, I hate to say it, but it really makes me happy.
No, I know.
It's sort of warmth you don't get from much else in life.
Well, you think he's in trouble in a Senate primary challenge?
Perry,
let alone president.
They've said that if Rick Perry were to run against him right now, he's up 10 or 12 points in a primary. I mean, that may have changed. That was before he endorsed Trump.
Yeah.
So
it's a little early to.
But I'm just saying, even if he had to have a difficult, because where does Perry go from here? I mean, there are other shows besides Dancing with the Stars, I'm sure he can go to, right? I mean, the E! Channel itself must have a potpourri.
I'm sure there's plenty of places.
But if he wants to run for office again, being that he's been governor of Texas like 15 times, and you know, what else does he do? Maybe he does run against Cruz. I don't know. In any case, point being, Cruz is not what he was, an incredibly unlikable right-winger. If one of these more likable ones can get up there, they're the ones that worry me, because they're the ones the media is not nearly as good. They're good at calling somebody a jerk who acts like a jerk. They're not good at calling somebody a jerk because they want to force them to, if a woman who has miscarriages, to have a funeral for the fetus.
Indeed.
Which is something that Mike Pence supports.
Well, and shocking that like there was no questions on those issues that literally define Mike Pence. I mean, the guy's got a 40% approval rating in Indiana,
right?
And he has that rating for a specific reason. And the idea that none of those issues came up,
right? Especially when he was like, we balanced the budget. Remember, he was making this big argument, all the stuff he had done in Indiana, and that was bad that Tim Kaine missed that rebuttal. But it's bad that the moderator didn't say, well, then why do you have a 40% approval rating, and were you way behind in polls? People were saying you're going to lose if you had run again.
Well, first off, balancing the budget in a state is a requirement. There's no governor who hasn't balanced their budget.
Yep.
So that's not...
I think there's literally like two states it's not required in the entire
country.
It's
like saying, I showed up to work every day.
I put pants on.
Or I didn't get punished for those days I was absent or something like that. All right. So here is the other sort of drama that's playing out. So Donald Trump goes to a town hall forum in New Hampshire. What was this, last night, right? And he hosted by Howie Ka, the right-wing talker from Massachusetts. And
I love how you can always bring that accent back out.
The idea is that he's going to practice, right? He's going to practice for this thing. And he's so defensive in the course of the town hall. First of all, They didn't let any of the
they screened everybody.
They didn't let anybody ask questions directly of him. They made it all go through Howie Carr. They were supposed to take like 20 questions, and he left after like 8 or 10.
Did they play like a long game of telephone where the person whispered it to the next one?
Well, the point is they're afraid that the question was not going to be one that he was prepared to answer. This is his practice.
I'm tired.
And, and so he is – there was all those stories about advisors to Trump saying he's not going to be happy with Mike Pence because you don't – you don't beat the boss in golf, right?
Right, exactly. And when you're playing the, you go out, you play tennis with that lead client, you let them.
Yeah, exactly. And here's Trump so defensive about that, addressing it.
You know, they always have a source. They always have a source. A source within, nobody talks to him. Nobody's talking, because he's like the enemy. He's like the enemy. But he said, and a few other people said, Donald Trump was at first happy, and then he was unhappy because Mike Pence did so well. I said, unhappy? We're jumping up and down. He was so good. And I'll tell you what, he's a great human being. You can't root against him. You can't. But I was telling Chris, I said, can you imagine these people are saying that I would have loved to have, you know, seen them not do well because that makes me look better. These people... That's why a guy like John King has stayed in the same position for, like, how long has he been at CNN? I used to say, I think someday he'll be an anchor. Guess what? He's still doing the maps. But no, I was so happy. And I can give you my word on this. I was so happy that Mike did well. And I was rooting him on, and we were talking all during the day, and I was giving us some ideas, and we were running things by each other. And it's so disconcerting when you hear, even tonight, they said, Donald Trump is going to New Hampshire to practice for Sunday. This has nothing to do with Sunday. And it's like they make you into like a child. And this has I love the people of New Hampshire.
No self-awareness.
Well, first off, let's pull this apart here for a
moment. Oh, my God, how many things.
First off, like, I was giving him ideas, and I was talking to him all day beforehand. And this is like coming with all the news reports that Pence is giving him suggestions on how to.
And Pence is telling him to be the same guy because Pence wants him to go out there and blow himself up. He's like, you did great that first debate.
We were workshopping ideas.
You should just go and be the same guy with that same passion and those same brilliant ideas. And you should whip out that Mexican thing.
Can you do the Pence squint?
Can you do this?
Pence
has an amazing squint, but also this sort of sense of like.
I like the serious nod.
It's an aggrievement, and it's sort of just like it's a patience. It's a very sort of like Christian fundamentalist thing, I think, where it's like, oh, you live in the profane world.
Yes.
And it's just.
Exactly. You know what it is? I think I can tell you. It feels to me like, not that I can claim to be, you know, a real Midwesterner. I'm not, you know, not like my wife, but I've lived a little long enough. It feels a lot like. Like a very sort of nice guy Midwestern, like who feels pained by your lack of.
It's just a shame.
Mike Pence brings Midwest nice, but behind, so does Tim Kaine, who is of Kansas City, but behind it, Tim Kaine actually, you know, cares about people, and Mike Pence goes and hangs out with snake handlers. So that's sort of the difference.
On Ring of Fire this week, we reran the interview I did with a lawyer who sued Indiana. Mike Pence had cut off payments. To parents who had foster care parents who had were foster caring kids with mental disabilities, and had cut off like just any type of support for those folks.
So he said the funerals for having a miscarriage, you know, for a fetus, forcing, you know, kids into this this therapy for being LGBTQ.
Right.
I mean, which has been compared to torture.
Yep.
So, I mean, the first year I was reading this woman's account who had to go through this, whose parents made her go through it. And she was like, basically, they teach you the whole first year that how to loathe yourself for what you've done. Essentially, to me, it seems like they're pushing people towards suicide almost. It's the only two ways you're getting out of this. You're changing your behavior or you might as well go. I mean, it's, you know, and the insensitivity with which he handled. He tried to create a state-run news network right, which was stopped. The courts overturned the ridiculous abortion laws.
And the ban on the Syrian refugees.
That's right, the ban on Syrian refugees. I mean, you know, these are not, this is why these however many evangelical pastors who signed this letter saying what Donald Trump is doing is not Christian. I don't see how Mike Pence is, you know, reading the stuff that, at least I've read, that Jesus said, that it doesn't seem like he's being very Christian.
And what's amazing to me, though, is that that type of stuff, I mean, it's being looked over, right? I mean, what we're seeing now, it seems to me, is we are seeing how the Republican Party goes past Donald Trump. You know, Mike Pence is already planting these seeds. Like, I didn't, you know, you've known him longer than I have.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not really responsible for even, like, you know, you, Chris Cuomo, have more responsibility for this Donald Trump character than I do.
Right, they've already blamed the left. It's like people like us who, because I guess we're smug Jews. Because we're smug, we've angered people on the right to the point where they can't elect people who are intelligent.
Right.
That's the sort of
this is Christy Todd Whitman.
Logical reasoning here.
I was on with Christy Todd Whitman on, I think it was Hayes' old show, Up, where she argued that's why conservatives can't accept climate change. Because the environmentalists and the left have been so smug about climate change.
That must be it.
That, I mean,
it's like, not billions of dollars in Koch brothers money. It's the smug left.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like, if you're articulating that idea, whether it's in the context of Donald Trump or of climate change, the premise is that the voters on the right have the emotional age of, I think, honestly, Luke and Dougie have probably already dealt with this idea of, like, just because somebody else is doing something doesn't mean I have to fundamentally change my beliefs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not quite
there. In defense
of my
kids, I think they're a little bit past it. But seriously. Okay.
So if we're saying the emotional maturity of an 11-year-old, right, if that's your defense, that everybody who votes for me and supports my idea has an emotional maturity of an 11-year-old, so the left has to act like they're, preschool teachers.
That's right. We have to be very soft and gentle with
it's
people.
It's unbelievable.
And that's why that clip was so funny. I mean, there are a whole bunch of things Trump said that were funny, but among them he's like, They act like I'm a child or whatever it was. It's like, yeah, they do. I wonder where that comes from. Also with the I love the John King insults there. It's like, I thought he was going to be an anchor.
Trump is already Trump is already setting up the argument that the federal government is letting immigrants into the country to vote against him.
What do we do with them after?
Which is amazing, because on one hand, Rick Scott has already announced that he's not going to extend the voter registration in Florida.
In Florida, even if people are having to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's super hard for people to register in Florida. But these undocumented immigrants, that's the one thing. Like, people say they're unskilled laborers. No, they are skilled in how to vote. Get in, vote, get out. That's the one training
like the
that
shadow,
they get, right?
Too. You don't know where they are.
No. All right, let's listen to this. This is Tucker Carlson on Stuart Varney's Fox Business Show. And here he is talking about the upside of the hurricane. Now, we also know, and I should say, that
it's always an upside to everything, right?
We should say, too, that just to be fair, so that we're fair and balanced, all this talk about the hurricane is something that we have been able to manufacture. It's outlets like this to promote the idea that climate change is real. So I'm obligated.
Somebody tweeted something out where they're like, they said, if you really believe that, Matt Drudge, who I think is the one who put that out there. Like,
yeah, Drudge.
Go out right now about hip deep in the ocean, because he lives down in Miami, and enjoy yourself.
There it is. Matt Drudge's tweet was, the deplorables are starting to wonder if government has been lying to them about Hurricane Matthew intensity to make exaggerated point on climate. Do you know how insane it is, A, to believe that, but even more so to push it?
Thanks, like, Sam. Now we're going to have more Trump candidates because of that smug condescension and that setup.
If you weren't so smug,
great. Maybe. Yeah, appreciate it.
Listen. We're going to talk about this climate change stuff later. First, what we're going to do is we're going to have circle time. Everybody's going to have some juice, and if everybody's good, somebody's going to get a cookie. But let's listen to Stuart Varney.
Now, right after the hurricane has moved off, I mean, yes. That's probably, what, 36 hours from now or something, I expect President Obama to go down there. Probably Hillary Clinton will go down, and probably Donald Trump. So there's going to be the aftermath of politics. Who's going to win this one?
That's a great question. I mean, look, the conventional view, and I think it's right, is that anything that makes voting more difficult hurts the Democrats because their voters tend to be less committed, and there may be other factors there too. But that is definitely what political consultants believe. If it rains, there's bad weather, if anything gets in the way of easy voting, Democrats suffer.
Now, they were going to have, the actual registration deadline was October the 11th.
Yes.
The Democrats wanted that to be extended.
Of course.
Governor Scott says no. So I guess that would tend to favor the Republican Party in November, correct?
Well, it favors people who are organized, who know what they're voting for, who have their lives together. I mean, I guess you could say that favors the Republicans.
Wow.
It favors people who have their
people
lives
who have
together.
More time, people who have more money for child care, people who don't have to work, have to worry about taking time off for work. I guess you could say that favors Republicans. I love how he stumbles, too, when he realizes, like, oh, yeah, this is the logical conclusion of what I said.
Let me just go there. I've always enjoyed the rantings and ravings on people who aren't committed, don't know what they're voting for. You know, and there may be some other factors there, you know, why they can't get the vote. From Tucker Swanson McNear Carlson, I believe it may be the third. No, I'm seriously. He is the Swanson frozen food family.
Oh,
he was
really?
Born way past third base, sliding into home, I would say.
I don't think he's athletic enough to slide.
Yeah, probably
he
not.
Just
he's like tripped
over,
into home.
Tripped
his
into
dad
home.
Is the one who got him his original gig at PBS. Why? Because his dad was on the board of governors at PBS, so he got a show there. I mean,
sounds like people have their lives together and no
exactly.
one's registered
he's
to vote.
He's right. Those of us who don't have our lives together because we don't have everything handed to us the moment we're out of the uterus.
Wow.
So, I mean, his arrogance on that stuff is just
stunning.
Yeah. It's oh, Tucker.
All right. Well, let's
great
talk
hair
about,
though. Very sexy hair.
Let's talk about one more topic, and then I want to bring in our resident experts on how the younger generation is viewing this this election. But one thing I want to talk about was a press conference that Paul Ryan gave earlier this week, and it is it sticks out for me. I mean, this is not. This seems pretty obvious on one level, mm-hmm. but I've certainly had arguments and, you know, with people who believe that for some reason, if Donald Trump wins and the Republicans maintain control of the Senate and the Republicans obviously maintain control of the House, that we'll have a gridlock government. That it'll be completely dysfunctional.
Who I can't think of who you're talking about. Who said that?
Well,
I feel like it was like somebody who's sort of funny and you disagree.
Look, I'm just, well, but
I've never
but
met
is,
the guy before, and he's going to hate me.
There's enough people who have said this, and Paul Ryan seemed to get frustrated by it on some level to the point where it's like, I'm unclear as to why he said this, other than the fact that I think he knows like it's either one of two things. One. He doesn't want Donald Trump to win, and he's putting this out there to sort of say, like, hey, you idiots who think that we're not going to be able
to... If you're going to vote for the Green Party, I just want to be clear. I'm going to destroy this country if Donald Trump's elected president. There's nothing unpredictable about it.
I honestly... Or he's just, like, he realizes that,
you should
like,
probably send him out in the trail to convince Kerry Johnson voters to vote for Hillary.
Or this is part of him trying to shore up his caucus. Like, I mean, if I'm Paul Ryan, and I think there's a better than... If I read 538 or Nate Cohn or Sam Wong, there's a better than 75% chance at this point that Hillary Clinton's going to be president.
Right.
So for me, what I want to do, if I'm Paul Ryan, to maintain the Freedom Caucus and to keep people in line, is I want to suggest that I'm willing, if Trump's in there, we're running the board. We're going to do everything that you always dreamed about. And I'm totally committed to that. He wants to articulate. Now, I think he would do it, but I think he's making a point of announcing it now because he wants to make sure he gets credit.
That's right.
From those people for having anticipated, having planned, having expected to do those things. And he explained basically, and this is it, and Ed Kilgore breaks it down, but also there was a great piece by Ben Weil in Politico. where he's basically saying, like, we'll run everything through reconciliation. And as you know, Cliff,
yeah,
it used to be that there were very sort of narrow things that you could do with reconciliation. It had to be all financial. People barely remember this because it was inevitable that Obama was going to reject it. But if you recall, a couple years ago, they did, through reconciliation, an attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Everything, right? I mean, the mandate, a whole series of stuff, a lot of stuff that was revenue neutral. Revenue neutral or didn't cost the government anything.
Right.
And basically, it was a dry run where they wanted to see if the Senate parliamentarian would allow it to go through via reconciliation coming from the House. The Senate parliamentarian did. It made it to Obama's desk. Now, Obama vetoed it, so nobody really talked about it. But this is the dry run. It's already happened. They can do it again. And if there's a President Trump, he just says, yes, I sign, of course.
Although I have to ask then, what if the bottom falls out in this next debate, as it could happen from Donald Trump, and the Democrats actually find a way to take the House back, but they don't have 60 votes in the Senate. They have, let's say, 53, 54. Could we pass everything through reconciliation then?
Well, that would be...
Because I guess they've opened that door now to... if now revenue neutral bills, I mean...
What do I know? All I know is what I hear on the internet.
See? I mean, yeah. It's a... I mean, there's definitely...
Immigration reform, getting rid of the Hyde Amendment. Those seem like things that might affect revenue someday.
Of course.
I
mean, I think... Well, let's just talk about that for one more minute. Do you think there is a chance that the House could actually be in play if Donald Trump...
Yes.
Continues on this trajectory?
Well, not continues on the current trajectory. I think if he doubles down his insanity during this debate, if he does something that goes to another level, which, you know, there's always a great chance.
What would that be, though?
It's hard to know.
Right.
But it really is hard to predict him. But yes, I think...
He does in Parkinson's impression on stage.
Well,
maybe.
And couldn't he do something like that? I mean, he does an impression of Hillary with pneumonia. Like, if he does something that's so... Because he doesn't realize something...
You're weak.
That,
you're like, weak. Right. Look at you.
Look, I'm wobbling. Hey, look, by the way, I'm Hillary. No, my time isn't up yet.
I'm jiggling. I'm jiggling.
I'm still stumbling, Anderson. You're being very unfair to me.
He does something that's so over the top, and maybe he even offends a core constituency in some way. Who knows, right?
Right.
But I think if the current trajectory, which is to say we had no more debates, no more big moments like that, I think she'd win pretty big, and she might win by 7, 8, 9 points. She might win states that Democrats haven't won in a long time, like Arizona. Mm. But I think if he, you know, really takes it to another level, the next one, and keeps that erosion going forward, yeah, I do think the House would fall into, and I think 55 or so seats in the Senate would fall into play too. But again, you wouldn't need that if they were willing to go with reconciliation. If that's what the Republicans want, I'm all for it. Let's do stuff through reconciliation then.
From your mouth to God's ears, we get that public option pretty quick.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. So with that said, Cliff, you're from Ohio.
I am.
And
although it's an interesting note before we get to that, just so we can bring it all full circle here, which is I did grow up in New York City. My mom, who's here in the studio, grew up in Queens and went to school with Donald Trump. But she's lucky enough to be 7, 8 years younger younger. Let's say that. No, my mom's a little bit older, so she wasn't there exactly at the same time as Trump.
Okay.
He certainly looks at least 15 years younger than Trump. No
well,
question.
You were there at the same time. Because the
school went from kindergarten through 12th grade.
He got kicked out. That's when he went to military school because he couldn't behave.
Ah.
And was it you saw some person, an old friend from school or a teacher, was it, who knew him back then and said, and shook their head and said, little Donald Trump, dumbest kid in the school or something of that sort.
And you wonder where all this trauma comes from.
So it is kind of interesting, you know, I grew up here, but now we're out in the swing state of Ohio. My kids who were growing up in Ohio are here.
Well, that's what I want to hear is I want to get a sense of what the support for Donald Trump is in the heartland. But I want to hear it from the generation who would be most affected in many respects by Donald Trump. I mean, Dougie, Luke, would you guys step up to the microphone here? Kelly will help you. Guys, thank you so much for joining. Why don't you just say your names and ages, if you don't mind.
I'm Dougie, 9, almost 10.
Okay.
I'm Luke, 6, almost 7.
All right. Very good. Now, Luke, let's start with you for a second. Give me your sense. Like, what do you know? What when I talk about the campaign for president, do you know who's running? Tell us who the people are running.
Hillary and Donald Trump.
Yeah, and what's your sense of those two candidates?
Hillary's good and Donald Trump's bad.
I think that sums it up quite nicely. What makes you say that? I mean,
the Mexicans don't want to do any harm, but Donald Trump is making them do harm.
Yeah, all right. He's saying they want. That's right.
I think that's an accurate assessment.
That's great, Luke.
Now, Dougie.
I don't know,
Dougie. Give me your sense, and obviously you know who's running in this election. Is that right? Okay, and give me your sense. I mean, you're not of voting age, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I assume because your dad is a Democratic operative, he's still going to get you in to vote, right?
Of course. I'm going to take him to Wisconsin. I believe there we have that opportunity.
And so, all right, but if you could vote, tell me who you'd vote for and why.
Hillary, because she's not a moron with fake hair and she doesn't have the brain the size of an ant.
All right.
The kid has message discipline.
Very good.
That right there is my boy.
Cliff Schechter.
It's my Dougie Schechter.
What did he say? What did he say?
This message was approved by Dougie Schechter.
Now, wait, Dougie, come back here. Wait a second. We got to hear a little more. I want to hear, like, okay, so now do you have a sense of, like, what, and Luke, you guys both tell me, like, are other kids talking about the election?
No.
It's me.
Okay, so Luke says beats me. Dougie, you say no, they're not talking about it.
Well, do they not, Dougie, do they not talk about it at your school at all? This doesn't come up? No? Okay.
Not really?
No, but most people hate Trump.
Okay. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, do you see a lot of Trump for president signs around your neighborhood or anything like that?
Nope.
A few.
Yeah.
We haven't torn them down. No, I'm just kidding. We wouldn't do that.
Do you guys, does dad take you out at night and you guys take down signs?
We play mailbox baseball with them.
You guys run over signs with your dad.
Did you see that video of somebody running over that big Trump sign?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, God, yeah. That wasn't us, by the way.
All right. Well, if you say so. I mean,
tearing down Trump signs is fun, huh?
And so.
Don't get my kids arrested.
Now, Dougie, what are you hoping that Hillary Clinton does as president if she becomes president?
Nothing that Trump does.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And what do you think about the idea of having a woman as president? Now, of course, you've only been alive. You've only basically known one president, right?
Well, when I was one, Bush was president. Barack Obama.
Was that a tough time for you when you were one when he was president?
It was, wasn't it?
I vaguely remember them talking about it and how stupid it was.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah. See, Dougie, he picked up stuff when he was one.
There you go. And so, I mean, do you think it's important that we would have a woman be president?
Yeah.
Well, why is that?
There hasn't been one yet, and people think that women are dumb.
Is it, well, I mean, not everybody, but no. I mean,
some bad people do.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And this would show them, right, that women can be present.
Right.
Yep.
Are all people equal?
Yes. Not Donald Trump.
But it'll be straight.
That I endorse.
Luke, what's your feelings on it?
Trump's an idiot.
Well, there you go.
They have a lot of messages. They do hear mommy and daddy's exasperated at times after hearing him speak or after a debate, just like, is this for right. real?
But and so is Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz also.
Well, it's just they haven't seen him as much.
Oh, thankfully. Yeah. We don't want them to have to be subjected to that.
So that's what I feel like. It, you
Luke,
know.
Do people, does anyone talk about it at your school, in your class?
No.
Nobody talks about Trump at all?
No.
That's good.
I know. I was just thinking that. Yeah,
yeah. What's that?
Well, there was a joke. Was it Zach Galifianakis did on the Between Two Ferns? He's like, isn't it? It's going to be very strange for the youngest generation to experience their first white president. In any case, faces. It was funny. Right, he so said is, it. Go after him, folks.
Is there anything else you guys want to add to this analysis? I mean,
Trump shouldn't be president.
Trump, all right, very well spoken.
He doesn't deserve to.
Yes, that's a good point as well.
He created his own race, the orange.
I don't know. Have you guys heard about a guy named John Boehner?
He's not that.
He's a little orangey too. Yeah,
that's scary. Right. Yeah. We're gonna.
Do you know any I mean, are you friends with any Republicans?
I am. I don't know. Well, there may be one or two. I haven't asked them because it would. I'm scared of the answer. But almost all Republicans that I know are not voting for Trump.
Because one of the stories that you hear, one of the anecdotal data points you hear is that there's a lot of Republican women who are voting against Trump but are just not talking about it.
Yeah.
And
was a story in Politico about it. Where they actually interviewed, you know, again, it seems more anecdotal. It's not like they've taken a poll. It's not scientific.
Right.
But they interviewed about a half dozen women, all of who said a few of them had told their husbands, and they haven't talked about it since, and their husbands think they may change their minds. And then there's a couple others who, like, literally have not told their husbands. But I think, again, the ones I would have to have Ann speak more about some of their wives and whatever. But some of the guys that I know, a few of them who you know, they say the Republicans, one or two of them are voting for Gary Johnson, and the rest of them, a few of them are voting for Hillary. So, I mean, I think they're, you know, it's that split of well-educated whites versus, you know, whites without a college degree. We're smug, of course, so we hang out with people. Forget it. I was going to make a bad joke there. I was going to go opposite Donald Trump. I love I love the uneducated, the lesser educated. I mean,
it's true.
Look, he's pushed the message in that direction, and it has been interesting to see a lot of sort of, I would call them more country club type Chamber of Commerce Republicans, ones that I've come into contact with some of the business work that I do, and they're very anti-Trump. Mm. So
they're still bad people too, though.
Not the ones I'm friends with. Not, they're nice people.
Oh no.
I need to have a talk with them on economic issues, most certainly. But they don't hate for the sake of hating. They don't, you know, and so. You know, that is going to be interesting.
Because, what does that mean?
Because a state like Ohio, I guess public policy polling came out and showed us with a 1-point lead, Hillary with a 1-point lead. Two other polls show her with a 2-point lead.
In Ohio. Oh, wow.
These are all the last few days.
Why do you think it's so tight in Ohio?
I think because Ohio always used to represent percentage the country of whites. Demographically, perfectly. So African American percentage mirrors the country, white percentage mirrors the country. Hispanic and Asian does not. Ohio does not have the kinds of industries that have brought. So that's where we're lagging.
And could it be a place where, in contrast to Romney, maybe Trump's more sort of pseudo-populism? Romney's not going to break into that.
The northeastern part that's lost a lot of industry, that's where, like, you may have heard of the Mahoning Valley, Youngstown, that area, that's where Trump is winning over lots of Democrats.
Is there coal in Ohio, too? Is that what Pence was all about on the war on coal? That seemed to me to be, I mean, there was clearly he was sending that message. He said war on coal like 3 times, and that just seems anachronistic at this point.
We're not like a state like Kentucky or West Virginia. There's a much bigger coal, but yes, there's a corner, the southeast part of the state. That's Appalachian, and
it's amazing when you contemplate
that
they're doing an entire debate and they're basically speaking to literally a dozen counties in the country.
But I think it's also cultural signifiers and saying that you guys in the Northeast who are industry, you guys in the Southeast who are in coal, like, we're with the white working class. We get it. We're going to stop those immigrants from taking your jobs. We're going to stop those trade deals from it's part of a whole play, and it will, I think, win significant numbers of Democrats there. But then there's people, I would almost call them in Cincinnati, like Procter & Gamble Republicans, who work at, obviously, at a big Fortune 500 like that company, who are much more socially liberal and have been well-educated and horrified by Trump. So he's lost a lot of those people. So it'll be interesting. I think Hillary's turnout, if nothing else changes, even if Trump doesn't crash in the next debate, but if the trajectory continues to be about what it is now, I would say we definitely win based on the amazing turnout machine that Hillary has.
I think if Clinton wins Ohio, we're going to see a margin of victory larger than 2008.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's going to be.
I think she could win. I mean, you mean like popular vote? Or
I'm talking popular vote and electoral.
Electoral will be right. Could be more. It'll definitely be at the very least in the range, because She could lose Iowa still, which Obama won, but she's going to win North Carolina if she wins Ohio. And I think she's going to win Arizona in that case too. So yeah, she'd go have more electoral votes than Obama. I'd have to do the math. I think she.
But Indiana will flip back to Trump.
Right, but it did in 2012.
Yeah, 2012 was.
But
already,
yeah, she wouldn't get Indiana. I'd say the only other state that I could see her having a shot at, if we're assuming that Trump doesn't blow the whole thing up in the next debate, so she has a shot.
Big assumption.
So she has a shot at like Wyoming or Alabama. But if that doesn't happen, Georgia obviously is not too far off, and with turnout. You never know, right? That could happen too.
That would be amazing. All right. Lastly, do you think that Paul Ryan, and we're going to talk Sunday night after the debate, and we will post that as Monday's show. But do you think that Paul Ryan coming out, and I don't know if it made enough news that it makes sense, but my understanding has been there's been three things the Clinton campaign has been trying to do with Trump. One is, say, the guy is temperamentally unfit.
Yep.
Two, his racism and misogyny is also obviously a real problem. And three, the sort of Republican, the sort of more generic Republican, he will allow everything.
I think they go after the business
do
acumen,
you think
though, too.
But I think that has to do with temperament on some level.
That's true.
But, I mean, do you think that this Paul Ryan story is going to give them the idea, the leverage to present that case? I mean, do you think she's going to say, Paul Ryan on Friday said that if you are president, we will get the rollback of the Affordable Care Act, the cuts in Medicaid, the voucher system for Medicaid and Medicare, mm-hmm. The privatization of Social Security, the cuts in social services. Do you think she's going to make him, like, just address that question? Because to me that he doesn't have the ability to answer that question. And then if he does, he's going to put Paul Ryan in a very difficult position.
Yeah, I think it would be malpractice not to. I think she is, and then I think she's also going to bring Mike Pence into it and try to say, well, you know, Mike Pence has said this, but we should cut Social Security, too.
Mike just listens to whatever I say.
Right, I mean...
but believe me, Mike isn't going
to
do that.
He listens to all my advice. Yeah, I think, I mean, because if you bring Pence's positions and then try to do the same thing, right, she can sort of paint Trump into a corner, too. So I think both of those will be brought in. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if that happens. All right, before we say goodbye to you guys, Dougie, we need a recommendation as to what to watch this weekend. And from both you guys.
That's perfect. They have movie reviews here at the end of the show, and I guess there's not somebody coming on this time to do that.
No, and I need...
So you guys have watched some good movies recently. Why don't each of you give some movies?
Now, you guys know, I have a 3.5-year-old son who I try to expose to media and movies and shows that are inappropriate for him. He's a little bit older than... So
Deadpool's perfect. You want to watch him? Haven't watched Deadpool?
I've gotten the thumbs up. So I need some suggestions from you guys now. What is the best movie or two that you've watched recently that you would recommend?
Share your movies, guys.
X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men nice. Apocalypse. All right. All right. Love it.
Do you have another one, Luke, maybe?
X-2.
Oh. X-2. All right.
We're definitely much in the X-Men genre.
There's a lot
lately.
Of X-Men going on. I also understand that you you checked out the Star Wars set. Is that right?
Oh.
All right. Now, here's your opportunity. I know you've probably signed a non-disclosure form. But look.
Remember, Disney can take our house, boys.
Listen, guys. They can't. You're not legally capable of signing a non-disclosure form. You can physically do it, but you're not legally capable of doing it. All right? So this is completely protected talk.
Nobody's hearing us right now. That's what's good.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Luke's? Does Luke have a daughter or a son? What's the deal? Tell us.
Blanks putting there, too much Sam. Pressure on them.
All right, guys.
It was
not allowed to tell you.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay.
That's
wow. Great.
Wow. You guys, okay. Very, very un-Trump-like children.
Besides one time when at Netroots Nation back in 7, 8, well, it would have had to be 7 or 8, Chicago, I was walking around with Dougie, and there was a time when Bill O'Reilly compared Netroots Nation to the Nazis in a usual kind of very tempered
right, of course.
Bill O'Reilly comparison. So Stephen Colbert grabbed the footage grabbed some footage of the Nazis and made fun of him, and he said, let's compare the two. And somebody had done videos walking around interviewing a couple of us, and I was one of them, and I was holding this little red-haired guy who was like a little peanut who was like a year old. And so to purposely sort of show the difference between them, so he's like, that's true. So they said, guess which one is the Nazis? So he's just going to be like, Sieg Heil, you know, and they're doing the whole thing. And then they show me holding Dougie like, hi, we're Democrats, and we're here to, you know, and so... So he's been on TV, but this has been their first radio.
Really?
One with the bright lights. And so, you know, they've been a little
I
nervous.
I thought you guys have done an exceptional job. You're both very well poised.
Very
you
good job.
Thank you guys.
Great job.
Thank
no,
you.
Thank you. Thank you guys good for job, coming boys. On. We'll send you residuals checks. Is it?
Awesome.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
College accounts taken care of.
So Cliff, we will talk, I guess, Sunday night.
Yeah. I'm going to be here in this wonderful big city. And,
oh, you are going to be here.
Well, no. Then we're going to fly home Sunday.
Okay.
And as long as Matthew doesn't change direction yet again, Matthew's positions are very much like Donald Trump's.
Indeed.
He's up here. Flip-flopping. He's going back down to North Carolina. I should mention.
Well, you know, Cliff, I think you did a great job up until that point.
Exactly. That's the point where I get myself in trouble. But
what are you guys excited to see in New York City? What are you guys excited to see?
What are we going
to
see? Are we going to see anything?
What are you excited to see?
Oh.
You got to talk into the mic.
We got to talk into the mic. Go in the mic. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in Central Park?
Go see Balto. Have you read that book, Balto?
Seriously, tell them what we're
going to
do.
Pokemon.
Oh, you're going to play Pokemon in Central Park?
Apparently, like the Pokemon Go guys in New York, you know, are just
pretty
like
serious.
Just like everything in New York is pretty big time. You know, we're just a couple meetings.
Now, we don't have any
Western
Pokemons
kids.
In here, do we?
No.
No. You guys need some in the building.
There was a good one.
There was a good one around the corner?
Which
or
one? Which one was it?
Which one? See, he plays.
Dragonite.
Oh, wow.
See?
You're sleeping on
plays.
It, Leck. You don't know what you're doing.
He's jealous, man.
These kids are crushing you.
So you're going to go to Central Park to play Pokemon. What else? Did you ever read that book, Balto?
Actually, is a tour in there.
What's that?
They actually have a Pokemon
have a
Go. Like, I have a tour.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's probably like the Kramer tour.
Yeah,
Seinfeld.
No idea.
Maybe tear down some Trump signs too. If you see them anywhere, that would be another good thing.
This one, you know, because they
somebody actually teared down their Hillary sign.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
On our street. We found it across the street. We put that back up because we're defiant.
Well, I hope your parents take you to deface the Trump Tower.
That's perfect. We're staying on like 45th. We're right near
you
it.
Get your folks.
Just chalk on the sidewalk outside.
We're
going right,
to cannonball just into, right the, into sad. The fountain. Right. We can cannonball into the fountain.
Yeah, all right.
You could
I have to say, Mrs. Schechter does not look impressed by these ideas.
Wait, I know. Which of the two?
Both of them.
Get some brand and draw on the walls, draw his face. Looking stupid, like.
So just do like a portrait of him.
Just bring a lot of orange crayons.
Yeah, an orange crayon, and just write things like sad.
In a way, it's actually kind of true. I almost feel like I should take them to see Trump Tower now and be like, I think we went there once randomly in the past, but this is the place where the monster lives.
There you go.
This is where it hibernates. It grows hair.
This is where I eat meatloaf and yell at my staff.
That's right. This is where I treat my people terribly and then fire them.
Well, guys, have a great trip, all right?
Say thank you.
Good luck. Good luck with the Pokemon.
Thanks for having us all on, Sam.
No, thank you, Cliff.
Bon voyage.
Bon voyage?
Learning foreign languages.
Really?
The kids these days.
Très bien.
Oh, whoa.
Parlez-vous français?
Oh.
Si. All right. So you're multilingual.
That's right.
That's good. I like that.
All right, we'll come back and we'll party with your kids at some point.
Yes, that would be great.
Although your daughter may think that, you know, we're too young.
My daughter does very well with the younger children. That's her. She's got a 3.5-year-old son, brother.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I think we should get to the next segment.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, seriously, thanks for having us on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter and the entire Schechter crew. Schechter boys. Oh, there they are. Here, let me get another angle here. We'll get you in. All right, guys. All right. I love it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, folks. We're going to head into the...
that was great. We have a Jimmy song.
Oh, we do have a Jimmy song? All right. We're going to play the Jimmy song, and then we're going to head into the fun half of the program. Guys, thank you so much. Hey, there's t-shirts over there. I don't know if they'll fit, but look in the box for I think there's some extra small t-shirts in there. We give to all the kids who come in. And also, if you guys need a bag, take a bag, take a couple of bags.
You know, give them some homeless people, whatever you want.
What? Yeah, you give them walk around. Right around the neighborhood. There's all sorts of sizes there, Cliff. All right, here is what is the Jimmy Reefer Cake song name?
Eye of the Liar.
Eye of the Liar. Eye of the Liar. Based on, I presume, Eye of the Tiger. Let's hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting a major league a-hole with no government experience, weighing in at 251 pounds, 6 foot 2 inches tall, Donald Trump. And in this corner, she's a whore for Wall Street and the military-industrial complex, weighing in at 162 pounds, 5 foot 6 inches tall, Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump is feeling the heat, but I still like his chances. Hillary Clinton thinks that she has him beat, but she's wondering why she allowed Assange to survive. Hillary said, can't we just drone him? Because she found him annoying, yeah. And kept exposing all her lies from the past. Julian Assange is lucky to be alive. It's the eye of the liar. It's the thrill of the fight. Who will be the most effective liar? And now Trump plans his lying and he tweets in the night. And he's stalking us all with the eye of the liar.
That was great. That was, you know what? Jimmy's back to form.
Oh, no. That was a great tune. I should just say, the Julian Assange droning thing has been debunked. There are no documents that WikiLeaks released that said that. It was... just a meme or a hoax that
is
they
it,
were pushing.
Is it some type of family thing that you've become such a shill for shillery?
I just think that there's, you know, if you're going to do the eye of the liar thing, you want to make sure that you're not presenting.
It's actually pretty good to probably get your basic facts right.
Yeah,
yeah. Not a bad idea on that one. Like,
bye, guys. Thank you so much. It was great seeing you.
I give him a pass. I think that was a great song.
Bye, guys. Have fun. Awesome. Don't bump into any trees when you're chasing that Pokemon.
And be careful when you're crossing the street.
Take a shirt for you too, if you want. Please. Yeah, for everybody. And
shirts for everybody. Take them. Get shirts and canvas bags.
No,
take them all over.
Spread the word. I mean, it's free advertising.
Save money on Harry.
What's that? That's is there a teepee? What's that? Okay. All right, folks. We're going to head into the fun half. Just a reminder.
That was such a good song. I almost want to hear it again.
That was pretty good. Just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. If you become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com, if you become a member, not only do you make this show possible, what we do as a thank you, we say, oh, here's an extra, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 hours of content a week. And on top of that, you also get the first half of the show commercial free. We don't have commercials every day, but we certainly would love to. That would be great. But we don't. What's it?
What do you want? It is far more than 5 hours extra a week.
Is it really? No. Yes. Is it really?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah, we do an hour and a half each day.
Of a member show? Not on purpose.
But either way.
All right. Well, there's a lot of material. And sometimes what people like to do is like, oh, I don't like the interview today. But I'm a member, so what I'll do is I know the interview ends around 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes into the show. I will just fast forward there and listen to the thing. Or also, if you're a member, you get the whole archive. You get the whole archive.
Also, I don't know if we've mentioned this on air, but we're on Spotify now, and I listen to a show on Spotify, and it's nice. You can't speed it up, unfortunately, but if people want to listen to it on Spotify, they
can. You can't speed it up? Why? Because Spotify doesn't
have that capability.
That's fascinating.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you want to watch the YouTube shows, also, if you're a member, you have access to that.
The full show. Yeah,
the full show. We keep it up for about a week. Right. And then.
All right, folks. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. If you buy crap from Amazon or Jet, do so at majoritycickback.com. Go there, click on the Amazon or the Jet link, bookmark it. Always buy your Amazon or Jet stuff through there. We get a kickback. And don't forget, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Going to take a quick break. Come right back. 646-257-3920. We'll be right back. All right.